Hello, this is Mary, and I'll be reading selections from the Pantograph from Monday, July 6th, 2026. From the front page of the paper, Rocket's Red Glare by D. Jack Elkery, Bloomington. A curious thing happened in and around Miller Park late on July 4th, 2026. As the sky darkened and dusk approached, fireflies began to rise from their hiding places, lighting themselves and silently calling out to one another. But they could easily have been mistaken as a precursor to the evening fireworks show celebrating 250 years of the American experiment. Residents set off their own fireworks in the distance and near neighborhoods, each blast just out of the corner of earshot. The odd reveler or two had trickled into the surrounding area for some time, but as the sun sank in the sky, they began arriving in droves, personal vehicles crowding every street corner, bending parking regulations every so often. Families with children in tow brought lawn chairs and blankets, setting up in the winding paths of Miller Park, along the shores of Miller Park Lake, in the roadways of Park Hill Cemetery across the street, and upon the sidewalks outside some of Bloomington's oldest homes. Some stayed in their car. 2,000, perhaps 3,000, had descended upon Bloomington's historic West Side Park for the evening, as they have done for decades. Police blocked off Miller Street on the park's south side, restricting access to the battery of fireworks and, inevitably, any spent debris. Precisely at 9:05 p.m., the opening salvo launched from the West Park bank of Miller Park Lake, lighting up the darkness with red, white, and blue fire. The larger blasts were felt 3 times, in the ear, the chest, and then the ear again, as their echoes reverberated from the horizon. Brilliant barrages, one after another, burst forth in a percussion of meticulously timed musicality, crescendos rising and falling as the audience stared skyward, their eyes and smiles highlighted with each boom of the rockets and fizzle of rain-like fireworks. Most simply watched, soaking in the moment. Others discussed the show, commenting on the unseen artist's labor. Some made the attempt to capture the majestic display on their cell phones. On and on, the rockets screeched through the night, heralding yet another bombastic display of pride in the legacy that is America, until, promptly at 9:30 p.m., the last glorious effort launched. And for a full timeless minute, the night air shook as the flares danced in the sky. Then silence all but descended in Miller Park, though residential fireworks still occasionally peppered the horizon. And the fireflies continued their silent reverie. And there were, of course, several pictures of the beautiful, colorful fireworks from the 4th of July that were on pages 1 and 3 of the paper. Also from the front page, family, friends share forth, Hometown Spirit in Bellflower and Leroy, by Annie Wang and D. Jack Elkery, Bellflower. If you ask Diana Zimmerman what Independence Day means, she won't start with fireworks. She'll tell you about community. Zimmerman has lived in Bellflower for 79 years and can only remember celebrating Independence Day elsewhere once. I think you could sum Bellflower up and say, it's tight, she said. We're proud of where we came from and who we are. Over the decades, she and her husband, Robert, have watched their family and their roots in Bellflower grow. Married for 58 years, the couple has 3 children, 7 grandchildren, and 12 great-grandchildren. Thank God there's Zimmermans in this town, she said. Their son, Shane Zimmerman, followed in his father's footsteps by joining the fire department and now serves as chief of the Bellflower Fire Protection District. Having helped out with the village's Independence Day celebrations for 40 years, the fire chief said the holiday has always been about reconnecting. This is one of the days of the year we all seem to get together, he said. Everybody comes back home. We get a chance to see and meet and talk and enjoy food and fireworks and all the other good stuff that goes along with the 4th of July. That sense of homecoming is reflected throughout the day's festivities, said Bellflower Events and Community Chair Teresa Drinkwater. The celebration includes a parade featuring children riding decorated bicycles, a watermelon eating contest, and a softball game for adults. Events also honored the lives of two community members, State Trooper Ryan Albin, who was killed in a crash in 2017, and Luke Hensley, who died in a house fire in 2024. Firefighters served lunch, while Lolly's Kitchen catered dinner. Every Independence Day, firefighters typically serve lunch to 240 to 260 people, Drinkwater said. Just enjoying the family time and watching the kids having a blast. That's what it is, she said. To commemorate America's 250th anniversary, this year's fireworks are ending with a bigger bang. The organizers have added more powerful fireworks boxes for the grand finale to the annual fireworks show, which they hadn't done in years prior. But the celebration doesn't end with fireworks. Once the show is over, residents continue a longtime Bellflower tradition, lining up at the concession stand for free vanilla ice cream before heading home. Leroy. Just down a country road from Bellflower, the folks of Leroy were already wrapping up their Independence Day celebrations around noon, following a parade and a free ice cream social at the Crumbaugh Manse, a historic home on Center Street, now used as a museum and community center. It's just a special relationship in a smaller community, said Mark Young, members of Leroy's America 250 community. People take pride in knowing their neighbors, he said. One notable participant was State Representative Reagan Deering, Republican Decatur. I think it was pretty amazing that she picked Leroy to be the parade to be in, Young said. And she was treated to a crowd of nearly 400, according to Young's estimation. Other than our Christmas parade, it was the biggest parade today, said Missy Morphy, member of the town's America 250 community. Planning for the parade began in October of last year, she said, and it was decided that Morphy would dress up as American icon Betsy Ross for the parade and ice cream social. After getting out of costume, she sat inside the manse, cooling off in modern-day air conditioning. Somebody said, "Are you the Statue of Liberty?" And I thought, well, that was genius. Why was I not the Statue of Liberty? Morphy said. She might have to revisit that idea next year, she said. Even though it was so hot to be out, the turnout was amazing, seeing people smiling and waving and grabbing the candy out of the street, Morphy said. And it's just fun, camaraderie of community. Even though Leroy abstains from fireworks shows, the parade still brought a lot of hometown pride, Morphy said. I have to say that it's more like Leroyans want to be here in their hometown for today. And that was good to see, she said. Leroy's motto, after all, is small town, big heart, Morphy said. And I think that was felt today. And there were several pictures from each of the towns that were talked about here, including the fire department manning the grill in Bellflower for their Independence Day celebration, with families lining up for lunch, and a picture of the Leroy America 250 committee in the historic Crumbaugh Manse. And also on the front page, Trump gives speech as U.S. celebrates 4th, by Andy Sullivan and Mark Snyder, Reuters and USA Today. Washington. After a storm-related delay, U.S. President Donald Trump took to the stage on the National Mall on Saturday to deliver a campaign-style speech to mark the country's 250th anniversary. Trump said he would have been willing to wait longer if necessary. There's no way we can be deterred, he said, shortly after taking the stage at 11:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Authorities allowed the crowd to return to an open field near the Washington Monument, where Trump was due to speak, after ordering a weather-related evacuation that forced spectators to shelter in nearby museums and government buildings for a few hours. Visitors had waited hours to get into the event, contending with stepped-up security and temperatures that reached 102 degrees Fahrenheit. The record-breaking heat wave forced the cancellation of several parades and other events in the area. "It's just part of the deal I signed up for," said Glenn Solander, 60, a software engineer visiting from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, as he waited at a security checkpoint on Saturday afternoon. White nationalists. Other visitors included the white nationalist organization Patriot Front. The group posted on social media that it arrived in the Capitol, and hundreds of masked people wearing the group's outfits traveled to the city on D.C. Metro trains. Local police said Saturday evening they hadn't received reports of violence. Patriot Front, known for its uniforms, face masks, and flash mob-style demonstrations, formed in 2017. A manifesto on Patriot Front's website says, "Democracy has failed this one great nation, and a hard reset is needed to, quote, return to the traditions and virtues of our forefathers, identifying them as European settlers." In the nation's capital, Trump was poised to place himself at the center of the celebration. The president billed his evening appearance among the city's iconic monuments as the most spectacular Trump rally of them all, accompanied by military flyovers and a supersized fireworks display. Past U.S. presidents steered clear of the celebration, but Trump blurred the line between official commemoration and campaign-style politics. A nonpartisan body set up in 2016 to handle the 250th anniversary was largely sidelined by the Trump administration's Freedom 250 group, which fenced off much of the 1.5 National Mall for a Great American State Fair, featuring attractions such as a Ferris wheel alongside displays by conservative groups and defense contractors. Several Democratic-led states declined to send delegations, and many performers who were scheduled to appear dropped out, citing concerns about partisanship. Thousands were on hand for Trump's kickoff rally on June 24th, but since then, crowd sizes at the event have sometimes been modest. Other activities with Freedom 250 branding includes a faith rally featuring mostly conservative Christian speakers, and multiple sports events, including a card of mixed martial arts bouts on the White House grounds for Trump's 80th birthday. An Indy car race in Washington is scheduled for August. The Freedom 250 organization also sponsored Freedom Trucks that critics say paint an overly religious version of American history and gloss over issues such as slavery and racial injustice. A Reuters Ipsos poll found that a majority of Americans, including three-quarters of Democrats and half of Republicans, say the events celebrating the country's 250th anniversary have grown too political. Trump sought to remake wide swaths of the capital city ahead of the 250th celebration, with mixed results. Many fountains and statues were renovated, but problems beset a much-touted $15 million renovation of the Lincoln Memorial Reflecting Pool, and security cameras and soldiers now stand watch over its peeling paint and algae-fouled waters. Weather worries. Several governors went online to warn residents ahead of temperatures expected to be 10 to 20 degrees above average across the eastern part of the United States. "Please be cautious of the extreme heat," New Jersey Governor Mickey Sherrill posted on social media. "Limit your time outdoors, especially during the hottest times of the day, and drink plenty of water." Dangerously hot conditions and heat index values of 110 to 115 were forecast for parts of Maryland, Washington, and Virginia. The extreme heat we are feeling in Virginia is not letting up this weekend, Virginia Governor Abigail Spanberger posted on social media. Please do your part to let our first responders and healthcare professionals enjoy the 4th of July, too. Take precautions now so you don't have to make a trip to urgent care. Stay safe, stay hydrated, and stay cool, Virginia. And there were some pictures of events from the 4th of July parade in Washington and the Great American State Fair in Washington. People attempting to cool off during the hot temperatures, and military aircraft performing a flyover near the Statue of Liberty, featuring red, white, and blue smoke tailing from the planes. Turning to page 2, today's flick fact. Today's question. The words Kleenex and Band-Aids are now so well known they've become generic terms, says Ad Age magazine, as in, can you pass a Kleenex or do you have a Band-Aid, even if you're actually only referring to a tissue or a small adhesive bandage. Can you name a third brand name that has become such a well-known product it has become a generic term across America? Hint, it's made in Bloomington. Today's answer, yes, it's Beer Nuts, the downtown Bloomington-born product, originally known as Redskins, then called Shirk's Glazed Peanuts, and finally, 70 years ago, Beer Nuts. That adage says has now become a generic term for a sugar-glazed brown-skinned peanut. How time flies. 100 years ago, July 6, 1926. Just what color the Daily Pantograph model home will be may now be seen. The first face brick has been put in place. The solid brick wall on top of the concrete base will be finished this week up to the first floor. The brick chosen for the model home is of a dark cloister mixture of soft reds and browns. 75 years ago, July 6, 1951. Records of Normal Township Assessor Lander Van Gundy indicated that the township's assessed value will be about $1 million higher this year than last. Personal property values in Normal include 2,106 passenger automobiles valued at $2,574,235. Cars make up the largest single unit of personal property value. 50 years ago, July 6, 1976. Bloomington Normal has been denied federal funding to help pay for a 3-month evaluation of its Metro Manager project. The Twin Cities applied in May for $7,951 to help pay a portion of salaries and supplies necessary for this evaluation. 25 years ago, July 6, 2001. At the nursing home where Leota Dillon lives, they took her picture last year on her birthday, July 5th. Those who lined up for refreshments at her latest birthday party got to see a reproduction of the photograph done in frosting. Not bad for a 106-year-old who is believed to be the oldest person living in McLean County. For her part, Leota sat in her wheelchair at Bloomington's Scotchwood Healthcare Center and let her friends come to her. Bob Newell came from California. He's about the closest thing to a living relative she has, and he's only related by marriage. Newell's late wife was one of Leota's nieces. Otherwise, Leota said, every one of them is dead. I'm the only one left. It's true. She has outlived practically everybody she has known, including two husbands. I'm hard on them, she joked. Turning to Section B, the sports page for Monday, July 6, 2026. World Cup Soccer. Next win could make U.S. World Cup run legendary. By Seth Vertelny, USA Today, Seattle. The U.S. men's national team has already accomplished plenty at this World Cup. Never before has the U.S. won 3 games at a World Cup. Mauricio Pochettino, who had never coached a World Cup game a month ago, is now the program's all-time wins leader at the tournament. And for only the second time ever, the U.S. has won a World Cup knockout game. And yet, if this team wants to truly prove that it is different than previous generations, winning the next game is vital. The U.S. takes on Belgium in the round of 16 at Lumen Field today. Win that game, and the U.S. will be in a World Cup quarterfinal for only the second time ever. It's that kind of moment that, per U.S. midfielder Tyler Adams, could help this team be remembered for a long time. As a team, we want to leave our mark on the game and a legacy behind, Adams said on Friday. I want it to be more than just what this moment has created and the hype around it. If we're talking about the team and the success that they've had, you know, 2 years from now, then we've done something right. I don't think in the moment it's as important, but again, we want to have success. We know the further we go, the more success we're going to have, and the game is going to grow. Adams and several of his teammates now have the experience of playing in multiple World Cup knockout games. That's something precious few U.S. players could say in recent years, following the team's failure to even reach the 2018 World Cup. While missing the tournament in Russia was a program low, it could hit a high water mark just by participating in a World Cup quarterfinal on home soil against Spain or Portugal. Before they get there, though, Adams and his teammates have to first get through Belgium. You need to embrace the moment, that's for sure, to have an opportunity to play in a round of 16 game, Adams said. Last World Cup we did, but it was obviously the first knockout game, not the second. Adams wants this team to be remembered. Beat Belgium, and it will. The round of 16 knockout game tonight between the United States and Belgium in the World Cup is being televised at 7 p.m., and it will be on Fox Network. The other game, Portugal versus Spain, is at 2 p.m., also on Fox. The two winners of these games will meet in the quarterfinals. Turning to page 12, National and World News, The Digest. Israeli cabinet won't obey Supreme Court. Jerusalem. Israeli cabinet members voted Sunday to defy a Supreme Court decision regarding the country's broadcast regulator, raising concerns of a constitutional crisis. This is the first time Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government flouted a Supreme Court ruling, although it clashed with the judiciary in the past. After the elections in 2022, it sought to limit the court's powers, drawing global criticism and mass protests in Israel. The judicial reform was shelved under the October 7, 2023 Hamas attacks, although some parts have since been resurrected. Four children among July 4th gunshot victims. New York. At least eight people, including four children, were shot and injured late on the U.S. Independence Day holiday in New York City's Coney Island neighborhood, ABC News said, citing the New York City Police Department. Officers from the NYPD responded to reports of a shooting at 10:37 p.m. on the Brooklyn neighborhood's West 31st Street, the NYPD said in a statement to ABC News. The injured included two men, two women, and four children, ages 14, 12, 7, and 6. It quoted the NYPD as saying all the victims had been transported to hospitals. Seven were in stable condition, it said, while a 21-year-old woman was in critical condition. Venezuela. The death toll from Venezuela's twin quakes rose to 3,342, according to numbers released Sunday by the Venezuelan Information Ministry. The new tally also puts the number of injured at 16,470 and the number of homeless at 17,345. Ukraine war. Ukraine refused to halt shelling of the town of Kostyantynivka in the east of the country to allow Russia to hand over the bodies of fallen Ukrainian soldiers, the Russian Defense Ministry said Sunday. This is a key locality whose capture Moscow has long sought in its military campaign in the Donetsk region. Middle East. Maritime trade between Iran and Qatar resumed after a roughly five-month suspension, Iran's commercial attaché in Doha told state media Sunday. They said the shipping between Iran's Deir port and Qatar's Al Ruwais port resumed following coordination between the Iranian embassy in Doha and Qatari authorities. Oil output. OPEC Plus agreed to get a further increase in output targets for August, the group said in a statement, adding to global supply at a time when oil prices are falling due to the gradual reopening of the Strait of Hormuz for oil export. The oil producing group agreed during an online meeting to increase quotas by 188,000 barrels per day for August, on top of similar increases for June and July. Arabian Sea. The U.S. Navy said Sunday it suspended its search for a sailor who was reported missing Wednesday. The Navy's Fifth Fleet said the Navy and Air Force searched for a sailor who was reported missing last week after an MH-60S Seahawk helicopter went down in the Arabian Sea. The sailor's name is being withheld until at least 24 hours after next of kin is notified. Gaza City. An Israeli airstrike killed at least two Palestinians on Sunday in Gaza City, health officials said. Medics said two people were killed when an airstrike hit a group of people at the Omar al-Mokhtar Road in the heart of the city, north of the enclave. Several others were wounded, they added. Beating the heat from USA Today, five places you don't want to be when it's really hot outside. Number one, hot cars. Going shopping, hot cars are probably the first heat danger people think of, but perhaps not enough. Nearly 40 children on average die in hot cars every year, most of them 3 years old or younger. Most are left by parents or caregivers by accident. Hot car deaths can happen at any time of year. Attics. Cleaning out your attic? Temperatures up there can exceed 160 degrees in the summer, even when the outside temperature is 95 to 97 degrees. That creates extreme risks of heat exhaustion and deadly heat stroke. Attics get hot because roofs are exposed to the sun for hours, radiating heat inside. Also, warm air from below rises to the attic. Many attics lack good ventilation. Confined spaces. Doing work around the house? Areas such as crawl spaces, sump pump pits, utility cellars, and under porch areas can be hotter than outside air. These areas often have awkward entrances and lack ventilation. The pavement. Taking your dog for a walk? Asphalt and dark pavement can become very hot to pets' feet, and puppies are especially at risk. When the air temperature is 86 degrees, asphalt temperatures can reach 135 degrees. That can cause thermal burns upon contact with skin. One way to tell if the ground or pavement is too hot for your dog to walk on is to place your hand comfortably on the pavement for 10 seconds. If it's too hot for your hand, it's too hot for your dog's paws, the American Kennel Club says. And outdoor events. If you're going outdoors, extreme heat becomes much more dangerous when you are physically active. You need to schedule outdoor activity carefully, drinking fluids, seeking air conditioning as needed, and pacing yourself. Staying hydrated and avoiding strenuous outdoor activity or work at midday is most important. We'll take a short break and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph from Monday, July 6th, 2026. Please stay tuned.